It's a great joy to have Dr. Pollock with us, taking advantage of his visit to Greenville for other reasons, that he may bring to us the Word of God. I know some of you, you don't always, things are so far apart in North America, it's sometimes difficult to know or have opportunity to meet other ministers within the same denomination. And so it's always an opportunity for us to, if we can have one of our men in the area to bring us the Word of God. Dr. Paul, like myself, comes from Northern Ireland, and he was in his final year of study when I was in my first year of study. And not trying to make any insinuations there about him being older than me, but he's a little older than me, but not too much. But we very much appreciated his fellowship in that year. I didn't know him prior to that, and got to know him a little bit in that 1 year of overlap. It was also a great encouragement. That year, our homiletics teacher was off for most of the year with shingles. And so in our classes, we had a substitute teacher that was really dropped in at the deep end. And most of my learning that year, I actually got from Dr. Pollock's observations of the other preachers. I was taking notes and paying attention to his experience as he made comments on the other preachers as they preached. So very thankful for his fellowship. Pray for him. Pray for the congregation there in Malvern outside Philadelphia. If you're ever in the area up there, or you know people that are looking for a church up there, it's not quite like Greenville up there, so finding a solid church isn't always the easiest. But do remember them and pray for them, and pray for our brother as he comes to bring us the word. May the Lord bless you.
Please take our Bibles together. We'll turn to the Psalm 143 and Psalm 143. Thank your minister again for those words of welcome and for the invitation to bring the word. It has been a somewhat emotional weekend, just working through all the various things regarding grace coming down here. And thank you for your prayers for that. And it is a joy to bring the word, to renew fellowship again with the Tomasians. Thank them for their hospitality over the last couple of days. And also just to make acquaintance again with many of the folks from camp, and again recent times in camp, good to see face again, Brother Carper, good to see you again. Good to see all the camp folks again. We enjoy fellowship when you make the long drive up north. I made that drive on Friday. I have renewed sympathy again for you as you come to camp. And so it's good to be here together in the Lord's house today. Well, let's read this psalm together, Psalm 143. We're going to read it together at this time. Psalm 143. Psalm of David, the Word of God tells us, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground, he hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. And therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." Amen. May God bless his word in our hearing again today. Let's bow together, please, in word of prayer. Let's all call upon the Lord for his help as you come to consider the word of truth again today. Almighty God and Father, humbly, reverently, we come before thee, conscious again that your name is to be hallowed, that we are those who hold your name and your word in reverence. We don't want to come carelessly to consider it. We want, O Lord, to have thoughtful minds and attentive hearts. We realize, O Lord, that for our minds and for our hearts to rightly receive the word, we need the help of the Spirit of God. So give help in the preaching and the hearing. Open our eyes, open our hearts. May the seed of the word find good soil that will bring forth fruit even unto faith and obedience. So bless our time together now. Help us, O Lord, to know and enjoy thy presence in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. It goes without saying that we live as real people in a real world. That kind of truism gets fleshed out in the Word of God, and we realize that we live, if you like, as sinful people in a sinful world. For those who are regenerate, we live as saved sinners in a sinful world. We recognize the challenge within our own hearts, our environment, and all the things that come on us as we live in the consequence of the fall. I think the Psalms, of course, highlight the reality of that spiritual experience. The psalmists and the various writers of the Psalms often reflect upon what it is to walk with God in their hearts in the midst of troubles, in the midst of sinful consequences from the fall. The psalm we have before us here gives us an insight into the psalmist's heart. Verse number 4, "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed." I made a mistake somewhat yesterday morning. Well, maybe not a mistake. I went on to your sermon audio page just to refresh my mind as to when I was last here on the Lord's Day. I was here on the Lord's Day in February 2018. I've been here since for seminary and for weeks of prayer and certain things, but February 2018, so I thought, well, I'll go back and find the date I was last here on the Lord's Day. But when so doing, I found the front page of your sermon audio page, and I saw my friend and brother, Pastor Eshman, was here 2 weeks ago. He preached in Psalm 61, "A refuge when overwhelmed." By that time, I was too far gone. It was yesterday morning. The bulletins had been printed. I thought to myself, oh, really? Verse 4 seems very, very similar to our brother's sermon. "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me." And so I thought to myself, well, so be it. So I don't know why you're going to have this subject dealt with again for the second time in a few weeks. The Lord knows that answer, and I believe that with all of my heart. Seeking the Lord for this time, so it may well be a sermon repeated. I didn't listen to our brother's sermon. Or it may be part 2 of his message. Whatever the case may be, it is a theme that comes recurrently in the Psalms. That's part of the reason. And I suppose our brother, when he's coming down here and he's considering what he's going to preach upon, he stumbled upon this theme, and me in a similar fashion, we realize this is a real experience. It's a recurrent experience. The psalmist knew it, we know it. And so therefore you come to a visiting preacher to the pulpit, and you think, well, this may well be a word from the Lord, a word in season at this time. It is a common experience. The word, we sense it in our own language very easily, overwhelmed. Again, back into the original, it has a sense of being covered over. It's interesting, that sense of being covered over by something, if you like, you cannot escape that reality. You're enveloped, you're engulfed in something, overwhelmed, covered. But when you look at this psalm, you see some of the parallel terms that are used. He says in verse number 4, "My heart within me is desolate." If you like, the experience leads to that conclusion, that result of a desolate heart. He used the term in verse number 7, "My spirit faileth." We can get to that place. I've been in that place where I've got to the point that I felt so overwhelmed that my spirit is weak. I feel like I'm entering spiritual heart failure. The next step, the next breath may not be possible. You can get there. In this psalm, the cause of the experience is verse number 3, "The enemy persecuting his soul." Of course, in David's life, And you go back to the early part of his public life, you have the trouble, you have with Saul, the enemy persecuting the soul as he flees and hides. You think later on then the trouble with Absalom and all that that brought about in David's life. He was never far removed from having the enemy persecuting his soul. But my thoughts today want to go more to the consequence than the cause. I want to think about this issue of being overwhelmed in our walk with God. And there are a multiplicity of causes. But let's look back to the Psalm 77. Yes, one of the quirks when I was seeing our brother Eshman's text, I hadn't even included Psalm 61. I picked it to sing, but I wasn't going to turn your attention to it. But we're going to turn to Psalm 77. I just want to show you a couple of the verses that give you an insight into this word, what the psalmist is going through. Verse number 2, in the day of my trouble. You're seeing this is being overwhelmed in the consequence of troubles. I sought the Lord, my soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Again, the troubles that come upon the heart of the child of God, in a sense of a soul refusing to be comforted, yet remembering God. And in the Psalm 102, you turn across the Psalm 102, and you'll see the word is used here in the title of the psalm. Again, the connection with troubles, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me. In the day when I'm in trouble, incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. Then verse number 3, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. And here you see the breadth of the experience here. Not just to say my heart is overwhelmed, but to have that worked out in various ways, even some physical consequences like aching bones and a loss of appetite. You see these things come about in our experience, and again, if you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These are real things. Just one last reference for now, and that's Psalm 107. Again, my desire here is just to illustrate, to help you see something of the terms here, but also to realize this is a recurrent theme in the Psalms. Psalm 107, verse number 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. That's the term, the soul fainted in them. Different translation, the same term, but you have this idea of your heart being overwhelmed, so that, as I say, you get to the point you feel in spiritual crisis, on the brink of loss, spiritual heart failure. And as I say, my desire is to think about the consequence here and the remedy of it. But when you think about the causes, undoubtedly there are many causes. I'm not just referring, sometimes we use the term overwhelmed in a quite shallow sense, not in a wrong sense, but quite shallow. You look at your working week ahead, you see your to-do list, and you think, oh, I feel overwhelmed by all that I've got to do. Well, there's application to that problem, but that is not primarily what we're looking at today. I'm thinking about this matter, as I said at the start, of living as a saved sinner in a world that feels the consequence of sin. And so what are the things that may cause your heart to be overwhelmed? Well, you think of everything the fall does, and then think about how that might impact your life, you begin to see a link between that and feeling overwhelmed. You think of the creation groaning under the expectation, the longing for redemption, the fall's impact upon creation, whereby we come to experience death and disease and disasters. Whatever your place may be in the world, those things come upon you, and you may look at those things and you may see future fears or present perils, and you may feel your heart overwhelmed. Why? Because you're living in a sinful world, and you're feeling the consequence of the fall in your world that is impacting upon your soul. Think about the fall in the lives of others. David's experience here in the Psalm 143. The fall has so impacted his enemies They are, if you like, out to get him. They're behaving in an ungodly fashion, and that's impacting his life, and he's feeling the consequence of enemies against his soul. Many of us have experienced times when people have been out to get us, they've been against us, they've acted against us in a sinful fashion, and that has come to such an extent in our souls that we're overwhelmed. At the point of heart failure through the sinful actions of others. Just passing comment, go back to the sixth commandment and seek to avoid sin in such times. What about our own hearts? Can we not become overwhelmed as we feel the weight of sin in our own experience? Think of sinful anxieties for the future. Is that not often the case? People are overwhelmed because they look down the line the next 6 months, next year, and they feel overwhelmed because they've allowed the sinful anxieties to creep in upon their souls. What about your own battle with sin? How many of God's people get to the point they fight first? They fight against sin day after day after day after day, and they feel overwhelmed through the consequence of their own fallen nature. So what do we do when we feel this way? Now you've got again back in our Psalm 143. You see the actions of the psalmist. He says, verse number 5, I remember the days of old. That's the first thing, remember. And then the second thing is to trust the Lord. Verse number 8, for in thee do I trust. And all of that, of course, is bathed in the attitude of prayer. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. Verse number 6, my soul thirsteth after thee. He remembers, he meditates, he muses upon the Lord, and that stimulates trust. He reflects upon redemption stories. I meditate on all thy works, the works of God, of course, in the Red Sea, in the Jordan, the works of God in his own experience when he comes to know and trust the Savior. He thinks upon the works of God that has rescued him from troubles in different times. He goes back and he remembers. And not in a passing fashion. He takes the time to meditate upon these things, to muse, to ruminate upon the works of God in his life. Such, of course, stimulates that trust that then leads to a heart of prayer and devotion to God. He wants God himself. Verse number 6, my soul thirsteth after thee. Not just a change of circumstances, but God himself. That pattern is helpful to understand. Remember, trust, and pray. It's a good pattern. When you take the reverse, you see how these things fall apart. A lack of prayer due to a lack of trust, due to a lack of remembering. These are good things to think about when you come to consider your heart being overwhelmed. You see, being overwhelmed is something that you may be experiencing right now. Or you may be just approaching that point. Or it may be down the line in the future. Whatever it is, if you're a sinful, saved sinner living in a sinful world, the world will bring consequence in your life and you will struggle at times to keep on going in the things of God. And so in light of that, how do we battle for belief? How do we fight these battles in faith? Well, let's think about that when we look at these words together for a brief time this morning. Note first of all, please, with me, his fear. His fear. He mentions his fear here. Verse number 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me. And here's the fear. Lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. A couple of possible meanings of the fear here of going down into the pit. It may well be that he's fearing physical death. It may also be that he's fearing losing his grip on God, and the pit referring to, if you like, the place of the damned where he's abandoned. Remember, look at the prayer he's saying, hide not thy face from me. He realizes that he needs God's presence. If he's not going down to the pit, see, he must have the Lord with him. Whatever the case may be, I think the application is quite simple. When overwhelmed, we fear losing our grip on God. We can get to that point that we fear that we're going to actually lose hold upon our confidence in the Lord. See, when overwhelmed, do the questions not surface? Why, Lord? Is that not a question that comes in your mind when you're overwhelmed? You say, well, I wouldn't admit to that question. Well, the men of old confessed at various times that question came to their minds. You think of Job, I go to the right, I go to the left, I can't find you, Lord. Job 23. Is this a reality that I don't know what's going on? Not without doubting the Lord, but is this a reality that I don't understand? And you get to the point, you say, why, Lord? Or how long, Lord? Is it going to last forever? The disciples, they find themselves in a boat, and the storm comes across the boat. I don't think they have thought this was the possible consequence when they set sail on that occasion. But the storm rages, and they find themselves overwhelmed by fear. So much so, they say to the Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Have they not, if you like, faced the reality that they've almost lost hold of their grip on Christ? That he says he rebukes them for their little faith, or indeed their no faith in one of the narratives? We can get to that point. You see, be aware, this is really what I want you to grasp afresh today. Be aware that in the midst of spiritual traumas and challenges, it is a time of spiritual danger and crisis. Don't presume that as you walk into a particular experience that's going to be challenging, don't presume that you can get there without wrestling with God and wrestling with the realities of unbelief. You may find yourself in that experience and you thought you weren't going to get there like the disciples. You thought, I would never question the Lord's care for me. But now you do. And you're in a time of spiritual trouble. See, be aware. You think of the psalmist Asaph, like in the Psalm 73. He would describe how his feet were slipping, his steps had well nigh slipped. Why? Because again, he's envied the wicked, he's living in a fallen world, he sees other people, ungodly people doing well, he envies them, he struggles, and he says, yea, I have cleansed my heart in vain. Is that not the same experience? Carest thou not that we perish? What's the point of me seeking to be faithful in the things of God? So the psalmist's fear is well put, and we should learn from it. Note, secondly, there was fervency. Because what I want you to appreciate here is the psalmist here is not guilty of unbelief. You should not equate being overwhelmed in life with being guilty of the sin of unbelief. What I said in the last point was really to warn you of that potential, of the reality that might happen, lest you're careful and watchful. That's the danger you face at this time. But the psalmist has not succumbed to unbelief. He's living by faith at this time. And so you might say, you might perhaps talk to someone privately in your home, in your family, in the neighborhood, and they will come to you and say, I'm overwhelmed by this trouble. And you may say, well, you clearly are not believing God. That may be a very callous and cruel and an untrue observation. You also may look at someone overwhelmed and you say, you're going to stop believing in God. That also may not be a true observation. You see, when you look at this psalm, you see what the psalmist does as he fights the fight of faith in the midst of being overwhelmed. You see, by faith he understands a couple of things here. By faith, first of all, he understands that only God can sustain and deliver. He recognizes that without God's speedy intervention, the situation is grave. Here he has not given up on the Lord. There's this constant recognition that he wants to know God. He wants God to hear his prayer. He's going to God in a heart of faith. See, the overwhelmed person may still be able to hold on to God in that situation. So faith that is confidence in God. Secondly, is faith that calls upon God. I love the word, verse number 7, speedily. That's faith being exercised. The reality that God makes no tarrying. The reality that God can come suddenly, can come in an instant, and everything can change. He used this term several times. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Psalm 69, verse 17. The Psalm 79, he says, oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily come before us, or prevent us, for we are brought very low. We saw the Psalm 102. I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me. In the day when I call, answer me speedily. Speedily. It's faith, an exercise here, believing several things about God. To pray for God to come speedily is the conviction that God is a living God. That God is real and true, and that God is not removed from this world, but that God can step into history and intervene on our behalf in a moment. It's to believe that God can come. And even though the trial may continue, we believe that God can give sustaining grace instantaneously in answer to our prayer. Lord, come speedily. This is faith in action. So do not read this psalm and have a condemnatory spirit toward the psalmist, where he says, I'm overwhelmed. And we say, well, therefore, you're not much a man of God, are you? No. This is a man walking by faith, holding on to God, not ignoring his troubles, not looking at life's difficulties and wrestling with those and saying, well, they're not really a big deal after all, are they? You know, Paul will talk about momentary light afflictions. He still uses the word afflictions. There's still the recognition that these are things that are painful and troublesome. You see, if we are to exercise fervency here, that's what we're looking at. We saw his fear and his fervency here. Fervency is faith that holds upon God. Such fervency is faith displayed, and it comes from a sense of our need and the grasp of God's faithfulness to his people. So you go back to verse number 5 again. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. We usually, if these two things are required, knowing your need and laying hold upon God's faithfulness, usually we get our need. We understand that pretty quickly. But sometimes we struggle to hold on to the faithfulness of God. And to do so requires us to go back to the works of God, to meditate upon the works of God, and to focus on God in our situation. Fight for faith. Fight for faith so that you fight by faith. And to fight for faith, you must give yourself to meditating upon the works of God. That's where the trouble often comes. What's one of the first things we may do when we feel overwhelmed? We miss our Bible reading that day. And the next day. And the next day. Our troubles are so all-encompassing, our situation is overwhelming, our minds are just racked with all that's going on in our lives, that we cannot find the space in our minds to give attention to the Word of God, and we neglect the Scriptures. And then we neglect the house of God. We get to the point where we're so overwhelmed by situations that we stop coming to the house of God. And we neglect the sacrament, we neglect the Lord's table, we forget to muse upon the works of God, to get to Calvary, to get to the empty tomb, to consider our Savior. When we're overwhelmed, those things are put to the side, and the very things that will help us in our troubles to fight the fight of faith, we neglect, and then the troubles get bigger and bigger, the hole gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And then we find ourselves crying out with the disciples, carest thou not that we perish? Now let me encourage you, because I believe there are some of you here, and I'm no doubt about it, that you've found yourself overwhelmed, and you did not neglect your Bible, you did not neglect the house of God, you did not neglect the sacraments. And you say, what are you talking about, preacher? We didn't do any of those things. Just take a moment right now and thank God for His grace in your life that enabled you to do that in the midst of your troubles. That the Spirit of God worked in your life in such a way that you're enabled by His grace to hold on to the Word, to hold on to your Christ, and to live by faith in the Son of God. Praise God for His grace in your life. But recognize that perhaps for some of you, you've been overwhelmed and you have done exactly what I've said. And the devil's got in. Now's the time to repent and get back to the former things. Meditate upon the works of God. You see, we've seen his fear and his fervency. Note finally then his focus. His focus is very, very clear. It's verse number 6 and 7. My soul thirsteth after thee. And then verse 7. Hide not thy face from me. Put it in simple terms. He wants God to look upon him. Now, you'll be aware of the Aaronic blessing in number 6. What's the blessing of God? Lift up the light of thy countenance upon me. Look upon me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. And it's all connected with God looking upon us. It's a picture. It's a metaphor. God, who is spirit and does not have a body like man. This is a metaphor to describe what it is for God to look upon us in grace. He's crying out to God for his grace, for his presence, for the comfort of the face of God looking upon him. It's a recognition again that God is his only solution. So when we are overwhelmed and at all times, let me give you 5 suggestions as to what your focus should be in light of the need of God's grace. First of all, pray that you'll hear of God's mercy every day. Number 1. You see that there? Pray that you'll hear of God's mercy every day. Verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. I think this goes back to the context of the time when the scriptures were generally read and read audibly and not read by the individual. You want to hear the Bible being read. You can do that today. I know there are some people and they get to the point where they genuinely do struggle to lift up their Bibles and read it. Well, we have several very good audio versions of the scriptures. Don't be against the thought of listening to the Word of God to hear of God's loving kindness in the morning. Whatever the case may be, it's not just about the bare bones of reading or hearing the Word of God. It's the fact that as you read the Word of God, you want to hear about the mercies of God, the loving kindness of God. The Word speaks of God's covenantal faithfulness. Christ, the mediator of the better covenant, the blood of the everlasting covenant. You want to hear of the mercy of God in the person and work of Christ every single day. So whatever you do, whenever you pick up this book, may I know of your mercy, Lord, today? You want that experience. Because when you're overwhelmed, what do you want to do? You want to fight for faith by faith. And you fight for faith by faith when you're convinced of the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. So hear God's mercy every day. Secondly, you want to be guided by God in every action. Here's a great prayer, verse number 8 in the third part. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Being overwhelmed is like being in the darkness. And sometimes folks, when they get in such a situation, they do not know what to do or where to go. What's the next thing I should do? What's the next right action? Well, look to the Lord in his word and in providence to guide your ways. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's the promise to plead, the prayers, verse number 8. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. I suspect there's someone here in this building today, and that's the prayer you need to pray. Lord, point me in the right direction. Thirdly, pray for God to give you the ability to do what is right in every circumstance. Verse number 10, teach me to do thy will. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Here's a desire not only to know the right way, but the grace to do the right thing, to obey the word of God. It's only by grace. I think those of you who have worked with the people of God over the years will understand that when people are overwhelmed, they have a tendency to succumb to temptations. So if you're praying for yourself or for others, pray this prayer, teach them to do thy will. Fourthly, pray that you would know victory over every enemy. Every enemy. Verses 9, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. Verse 11, bring my soul out of trouble. Verse 12, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies. You've got to understand that David, in so many ways, serves as a type and a picture, yes, of Christ, but also the child of God. And so you may not be in a cave with people camped outside seeking to put the end to your life, but do not think that you're not in a spiritual battle. You turn across, please, to Romans chapter 8, and you will know that in Romans chapter 8 there is the language of warfare. Not like Ephesians chapter 6, although of course they tie together very quickly, but verse number 37 tells us, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Victory over enemies through him that loved us. And when you think of the things that Paul's experiencing, verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Here's the reality of living in a fallen world. A saved sinner living in a fallen world. Chapter 7, he knows his own remaining sin. Wretched man that I am, where's the victory? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here are the troubles, persecution, famine, nakedness. But we're more than conquerors, again, through Christ that strengthens us. And so as we pray for victory over our enemies, we pray in the confidence that we are more than conquerors through Christ who died, who rose again, who even now lives to make intercession for us. So we cannot lose the battle. In Christ we can claim the victory over our enemies. You see, the purpose of our enemies is to bring us to defeat. And the enemies of God, they want to bring us to spiritual death. That's their ultimate aim. But they cannot ever succeed. Such is the strength of our captain, Christ. The enemies of God's people can never, ever succeed to separate you from Christ's love. So you can pray. No victory over every enemy. And then finally, fifthly, you can pray that you'd know spiritual vitality in every moment. Back to the Psalm 143, quicken me, O Lord. That word quicken is connected to the word group for life. It's used often in Psalm 119, I am afflicted very much, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Verse 149, quicken me according to thy judgment. 156, quicken me according to thy judgments. It's a desire for spiritual vitality. You don't want to just endure when life overwhelms you. You want to know what it is to walk with joy in the Lord. A quickened experience by the Spirit of God. And so you pray this prayer. Don't just get me through the next week. Don't just get me through the next 6 months. But enable me to walk vibrantly with thee by faith, even though my soul is overwhelmed. See the struggle here and the battle and the desire of the psalmist? We don't want to live in a state of spiritual lethargy. We want to be quickened, revived, if you like. Revive me, O Lord. So, we look to the psalm. And we see a true, real person living in a real, challenging world. And as I close, let me remind you about a sinless man who lived for a time in a sinful world, but also knew what it was to be overwhelmed living in a sinful world as a sinless man. And the Psalm 69 refers to Christ in the verse number 9 of that psalm. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproach of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. It's a messianic psalm, and in the earlier part, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. And you take a walk with Christ to the garden, and you see one who felt his soul overwhelmed, afflicted in his soul, as he takes upon his body our sins, to take those sins to the cross. And as he sweats that bloody sweat, as he cries out to God, here is one, our man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Here is one who is overwhelmed as he feels the consequence of sin, living in a sinful world as a sinful man. And you look upon your Savior, and you reflect upon your Christ, and you remember now, he is your friend, and he is your high priest. And he sits in the throne of grace, and he is the one who is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. And therefore, he is the one who knows all that you're experiencing in the sense of being overwhelmed. And he's the one who knows what grace you need to sustain you in time of need. So, take the prayers of the psalmist, and you're taking them to your Christ, your Savior, your friend, your brother, your great triumphant high priest, your captain, the author and finisher of your faith. Therefore, fight by faith, fight for faith. Whatever life is bringing or may bring, may God help us to walk with him. Let's bow together in prayer. Again, I think there's some of you here perhaps this afternoon now, and you're strangers to these spiritual realities. What you've heard strange words. You know nothing of a vibrant, living relationship with God. Your only hope is to seek for mercy today. May the Lord help you to seek Christ today. Eternal God and Father, we come before thee again. We're thankful for this time in your house. Thank you for the triumph of Christ and how those in union with Christ, we are indeed overcomers, more than conquerors. Thank you, O Lord, for the reality that there's grace to sustain us, whatever life may bring. And we ask for help, help to walk with thee, to walk in the right ways, to do the right things, and to live lives sold out to your God. Take us to your several places in safety today. Help us to honor your day, to call to the light. And bless this house, bless the work of God here. And every family, every individual, would you indeed lift up the light of your countenance upon them and grant them peace. In Jesus' name, amen.